The sum of the questions, question number 5 of chapter 3. The first question is, thank you for the previous or precious advices. To give the body away is also the practice of jiu. To apply this may be difficult without a strong background of confidence in the Dharma and in the own true nature of the mind, and without a minimum of realization. Can you please explain further about the conduct, that's the discipline of awareness, in relation to testing one's confidence or realization? In this regard, you know, giving the body is not giving the body like, cutting away parts of the body and giving it. Here, the giving the body means more like using your body, using your life to serve people. And that's giving the body. That because you find that the most important thing is the benefit of all beings, or benefiting other beings. And so therefore, you know, you find that the most important thing, the purposeful thing for you to do, is to do something that's benefiting others. I think that's more giving the body. Now in Chu, it's a practice. It's not really giving the body either, but to learn to practice, not to have too much attachment to your body, then you make this this ritual, this visualization, this meditation, and that your body is kind of distributed. His body is first blessed, made into very in Amrita, and then kind of offer it to everybody as food, as Amrita. This is an exercise in the mind. It is not necessarily that you need to have realization for that. Of course, if you have realization of the nature of mind, the more you have that, the more better anything. But it's not that you have to have a great realization to do that. It is a practice. So therefore, it is not, of course, I think that's the main thing, that so therefore the testing, the confidence and things like that is not so much necessary. I mean, it's a practice. You do as much as you can, and then kind of slowly get used to it and become better and better. That's the idea. Then another long question. Upaya comes up powerfully here, prajna regarding actions. Chapter 3, stanza 12 to 15. Let beings do to me whatever does not bring them injury. If they do something that brings injury to them now or in the long run, then I should try to prevent that because it is not good for them. Whatever they may think of me, let this not fail to bring them benefit. Whenever, whatever, any actions they do towards me, may that be of some benefit. So these are quotations. Not returning ill for ill, that surely has to be the base. I remember years ago, my teacher, Dr. Pelo Rinpoche, led a workshop on social justice in Halifax with the Shambhala community. I asked him about intervening in some ill deed, how to respond to someone who was doing ill. In the style I have come to know so well, he began his reply with, give them a break. This to me signals an overarching benevolence. But I am thick and slow and clumsy. How to give someone a break in a manner that does not do them injury in the long run? I am surely not to establish a codependent relationship where I torment myself and indulge their delusion. I can appreciate taking the lance directly into your heart and there dissolve it, but my understanding is so thin I can't imagine how to acknowledge their goodness through the antagonism and confusion. I suppose that's because my own prideful resentment is muddling my mind. Thank you, Rinpoche, for your gentle counsel. Karma Chöpe. Now this, give them a break, I also don't understand right away. And maybe afterwards he explained what that meant. But the idea is this, that through my, when you look into this, you know, what is the most important thing, what is the most kind of a purposeful thing for me to do, then to find out that trying to help others, trying to do something for the benefit of many beings, and becomes very important. And also to see that, you know, when I look, what is, you know, sometimes it is said like this, and I think it's very important. Don't ask why I should be compassionate. Ask why I am selfish. What is the reason and what is good by being selfish? And then you will find that being selfish is really not a good thing for myself, and it's not good thing for everybody else. So therefore, it is much more useful, much more reasonable, much more purposeful to be compassionate. So therefore, you know, to be service to the others is very important. Now, what others are doing to me. The understanding is, if somebody is doing something that might be of not so good for me, if I can stop that, I would stop that. But if I can not stop that, then I would not, you know, take it so painfully, so you know, kind of hatefully, so, you know, with so much kind of resentment. And that is one thing I think is very, very important, that even if somebody does something bad to me, that I try to take it in as positively as, because that's good for me, that's good for me. Now if somebody is doing something wrong, something negative, any negative action is bad for themselves and bad for others also. So if I can do something to stop them, I think we should. But it is not always possible to stop them. So if I cannot stop them, then you know, what can I do? That's it. So therefore, you know, and also, it is also very much important to understand that I cannot do everything. And there are lots of good things happening around me. That's very good, I have to appreciate. There are lots of good, not so good things happening around me also. And maybe I cannot do much about them. But, you know, I should just let it be, because if I am too kind of, you know, I cannot you know, be just worried and just unhappy, and you know that I have to do everything, I have to be responsible for every action of everybody. That is in kind of unpractical. So therefore, maybe I can make a dedication, maybe I can make a prayer, maybe I can, you know, I can kind of pray that I'll be able to help in the long run, but I don't need to kind of get myself too much emotionally involved with everything that's going on. I think that would be the right thing to do, because we have to be focused on what is the most important at this moment and then work on that. Cannot be involved in everything that's going on around the world. I think that's also important. Next question is, thank you for your explanation of these stanzas, and it's great to have the Shedra again after a summer break. When I first read the stanzas, they seem to be about extreme self-sacrifice, but if your explanation, they describe amazing generosity. Maybe this apparent discrepancy is because Westerners have particular association to the language used in the verses. That is also possible. You know, the translations can sometimes, you know, become a little bit, you know, a little bit too serious sometimes. And also, you know, we have to, you know, what can you say? I think from the Buddhist point of view, things has to be taken. There's nothing like only kind of right and wrong, or this you have to do, this you cannot do. Everything is advice, everything is a counsel, everything is a guidance, everything is a you know, kind of explanation to understand. So therefore, if you take it as a order or a command, then it doesn't work. So therefore, this needs to be understood in this way also. Then the next question is, dear Rinpoche, thank you for these teachings. What you say inspires joyous perseverance. The question is, Buddha said to trust our own common sense and inner voice about what seems right. And we are taught to have total dedication to a teacher. How do we integrate these two teachings? The first, when we decide, you know, when we decide or when we find a teacher that is decided by our own common sense or inner voice, you know, because the teacher is appointed, my teacher is appointed by myself. I find that teacher trustworthy, and then I say, this is my teacher. So therefore, it's based on common sense and inner voice. Secondly, the teacher never orders you. The teacher never, you know, a good teacher never orders you or commands you to do this or don't do this, despite of your, you know, your, what can you say, unwillingness, or if you don't want to do something, the teacher cannot tell you to do this, and nobody will do that. Teacher is only, you know, guiding you, explaining you, making you to understand that this is better. He is or she is trying to teach you, trying to make you learn, trying to, you know, make you understand. I think this is the most fundamental, you know, mistake lots of people making. That if I have a teacher, he will tell me to do things which I don't want to do. That is wrong. The teacher never tells you to do things that you don't want. Teacher only guides you and counsels you and, you know, makes you see things clearly, makes you understand things, makes you, you know, because if I don't understand why I should do this, you know, even in practice, if the teacher does not explain that this practice you should, if you, you know, do, then it is done like this, and this benefits in this way, and, you know, therefore you should do it. And if that explanation is not there, then you don't know how to practice, and then you are not taught. So therefore, it would not work. So therefore, the teacher's job, the teacher's kind of action is to guide and explain and make you understand what is best for you. And once you get that teaching, then you do. You do as according to the way you can, as much as you can. And that's the understanding. So it's very, very important to understand. I think this is the basic misunderstanding most of the time in the West, especially, that a teacher is like, I have appointed a kind of a dictator or something like that. Then he tells you what to do and what not to do. And if you can't do it, then you are kind of totally punished. That is not the case. The teacher only guides you. Teacher only explains. Teacher only, makes you see things clearly and understand. That is very, very important. Thank you very much.